Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the living one, the resurrection, the life, the one we put our hope in this day and always. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson. Jesus teaches about the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray. Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from your mouth. So give us your powerful, strong, life-giving word. Give us faith. Give us your spirit now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Say that with me. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That is the great proper response to our gospel lesson, and for that matter, all of our readings. I believe in the resurrection of the body. That's the response. Today, I want to ask you seven questions about the resurrection of the body. We're going to review the teaching of the resurrection of the body. That's our theme today. We're at the third of the last Sunday in the church here. We're focusing on the end of the world, and one of the great hopes we all have, one of the great comforts we have in this world of trial, tribulation, trouble, everything else, is that we have a glorious future. We're going to live forever. We're going to rise from the dead as Christ rose from the dead. So this is the time of the year for hope, a sure and certain hope of the last day and the resurrection of our flesh. Seven questions. The Sadducees asked Jesus a question about the resurrection. He answered it well. At the end, they said, "Teacher, you have spoken well," and they dared not ask any more questions. At the end of this seven-question little quiz, may I say, "Student, you've answered well. I dare not ask another question." Question number one, true or false, 8 out of 10 Americans believe in the resurrection of the body. You can speak out a little bit. It's a little bit of a Bible class this morning. False, that's an easy one. The last survey I saw, about 5 out of 10, 50% of Americans in a survey said they believe in the resurrection of their body. We have a mission. We have a great, great mission. Many people today believe that when they die, they just go in the ground like an animal or a plant, and that's it. They're kind of like annihilated into nothing. Sad. How do you live your life here if that's what you believe is going to happen to you when you die? And there are many that believe in reincarnation. I'll come back as something else. You're not going to come back as anything else. Now's the time to follow Christ. You don't get another chance. And some, of course, believe in purgatory. I'm in a holding station for a while. And there is this belief that, you know, my spirit will fly around up there in the clouds and kind of fly around, but my body's in the grave returning to dust, and I just kind of fly around. No, we believe in the resurrection of the body, not just the flying around spirit that really has kind of a weird existence up there. We have a mission in our society where people want to be physically fit, and they go to the gym, and they want to eat right and health, and it's all very, very important for this life, certainly. Hey, you want to have a perfect 10 body, friend? Believe in Jesus. Believe, be baptized, and we'll have a perfect 10 body in heaven. Glorious, immortal, we'll never die. No sickness, no disease. Believe in Christ, the resurrection of the body. Question number two, true or false, did you listen closely to the gospel lesson? In the resurrection, we will look like angels in heaven. In the resurrection, we will look like angels in paradise. This is one of Pastor's trick questions. False. Jesus doesn't say we will look like angels. He says we'll be like angels. As I told the kids, meaning we'll be perfect, thoroughly obedient in love, we'll praise God. He doesn't say we'll look like angels. That's not enough. Jesus tells us what we're going to look like. It's better than angels. Jesus says in the resurrection, we will what? Shine like the sun. That's the resurrected body. We'll shine like the sun. Glorious, sharing in the glory of God. What hope we have in Christ. Question number three, did you listen to the gospel lesson? True or false, in the resurrection, we will be married. Well, you can get the question right answering true or false. It is true. In the resurrection, we will be married. And who will we be married to? Christ, okay? Christ is the bridegroom. We're the bride. We're married right now. You're a Christian. You're married to Jesus right now with a greater love than you have with your earthly spouse. But we're his bride right now. We're the bride of Christ. He loves us dearly, is with us. And heaven's a wedding feast. It's the wedding reception. The wedding reception for who? Us and our bridegroom, Jesus, and all the saints and angels, the Father, the Holy Spirit. So indeed, we will be married with this great love between us and Jesus. But you are right also, it's false, but we will not be married to each other, Jesus says. Why not? I love my wife, you love your spouse, why do you want to be married in heaven? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, Jesus says that there we will not die. You'll live forever in heaven, so there's no need for procreation. And one of the great blessings of marriage is having children, to be fruitful and multiply, God said, to fill the earth. We won't do that in heaven because we never die. We don't need to have children because the race doesn't have to continue on. We'll all be there and live forever. One practical reason. The other is that our love with God, the agape love as we call it in Greek, this divine, powerful, deep, deep love of sacrifice and forgiveness and mercy, that love is going to permeate heaven. We won't have a lesser love. Marital love, sexual love, romantic love is a lesser love. It's a great love. But it's for this earth. It's a lesser love. We'll be so full of the love of God in Christ, that's going to fill us totally. That's heaven. A much greater love than we have here on this earth, although we have it now in Christ, even now through faith, don't we? Question number four. In the Old Testament reading today, God calls himself the I Am. And now I want you to go to John chapter 11. And in John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And there Jesus completes that name of God, if you will. He completes it other places too. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Say it with me. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, when God says, I am who I am in the Old Testament reading, it's a little bit incomplete. Because the Old Testament is always a little incomplete. You're left asking, well, what are you, God? Okay, you're the great I Am. You are God. There's no other. And you're eternal and changeless and everything else. But what are you, really? What kind of God are you? I am. It begs the question, I am what? And Jesus completes it in the New Testament. We know what God is fully like in the giving of his Son. And this is why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what kind of God I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life that you partake of today. Jesus fulfills the name, if you will. It all comes to a head in Jesus. We know what God is like, this God of love and mercy and grace, of resurrection. And then question five has two parts. What is the great resurrection chapter of the Bible? And a little assignment today, you should read this always, but read it especially during this time of the year, the end of the church year. It's in 1 Corinthians, and you have your 16 chapters there. And which chapter is the resurrection chapter? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read 1 Corinthians 15. You're dying. A loved one's dying in your household? Read 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. You're sick. You're grieving the loss of a loved one. You're sad because so-and-so is gone. We all have that. Read 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. It is hope and comfort for us dying, grieving people. And then part B, in 1 Corinthians 15... Paul gives four adjectives to describe the resurrected body. It's all right there. Can you name three of them? Well, in that chapter, Paul says that the resurrected body is immortal. It'll never die, never get sick, perfect and holy in every way. We can't even imagine that here on this earth as we're aging and dying. He says the resurrected body is glorious. We're going to shine like the sun. Glory literally means heavy or full. Your body will be heavy with the grace and mercy and love and glory of God. You're full of God. God in you and you in God. You're not God and I'm not God, but God will be so in us and through us that we're just full of the presence of God and the glory of God. Heavy, glorious, shining like God does. Can't even imagine that. Thirdly, he says the resurrected body will be powerful, literally able to do everything. And I can't wait to fly. Maybe I'll jump and actually be able to dunk a basketball goal in heaven. And I'll dunk on you, William, when I play you. And able to do everything, right? We all know we have restrictions now, and we age, and we hurt, and we have pain, and we just can't do what we want to do. Even kids long for a new body often. Paul gives a illustration in 1 Corinthians 15 that is just spectacular, where he compares our body right now to a seed. And, of course, the new body we have is the plant that comes from the seed. And just reflect on that for a moment. The plant or the tree that comes from the seed is so much more glorious, and it's so much bigger and wonderful. And that's the point. This body is just a seed. It's nothing of what it should be because I'm a sinner. But when I die and I'm planted in the ground, the day of the resurrection, God will give me a brand new body that's going to be glorious and large and powerful and just beautiful seed to plant. Question 6. In heaven, what is the main thing that we will do with our resurrected body? I have this new body. What am I going to do? Well, we will sing and sing and worship and worship and eat at the feast. But I would summarize it this way. The main thing we will do with our resurrected body is love. We will love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we will love our neighbors ourselves. And we have a place of unending, perfect love. The way it was back in the Garden of Eden, when all was perfect and there was perfect love. God and man and plants and animals and creation. Perfect peace and love. And God made Adam and Eve to love him and to love each other and to know that he loved them all. But sin leads us to love, but we just love ourselves. Sin leads us to love ourselves and do our selfies and think about ourselves the entire time and turn inward. But in heaven, we have a brand new body. We're in heaven. We're in paradise. We will love God and love each other. No war, no pain, no fighting, none of that. Perfect love. And number 7 to finish up. At the graveside, when we have a committal service at the graveside, and many of you have been there for a loved one, the pastor often reads from 1 Corinthians 15. And in that reading, there are two questions that we ask of death. We stare death eye to eye as bold believers in Jesus. And there are two questions from 1 Corinthians 15 we ask death there as the body is in the coffin. We're going to lay it in the ground. And this is faith. And what are those two questions? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We laugh at death. We mock death. You have no victory. You can't even sting me. Be gone. All because of the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God who conquered it all on Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And my final comment, at the committal, I, the pastor, then say, we now commit so-and-so's body to its resting place. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. But I only say sure and certain when I'm pretty sure and certain that the person that's dead is in heaven. And what is the evidence of that, that I can go by because I'm not God, that they remained in Christ? They were communing at God's table. They were hearing God's word. They were confessing their sins and hearing absolution. They were in church often. And they, my best hunch and my best speculation through all that, again, I'm not God, I'm not your judge, is that they had a sure and certain hope in Christ, and they have a sure and certain hope of the resurrection because they gave good evidence of it. But if someone has died that I'm not real sure because they're never in church, they don't hear the word much, they never commune, they don't seem to care, I leave out the word sure and certain because I'm not sure and certain. And I just say in the hope of everlasting life, but I don't know. And I'm not going to lie at a funeral about the person. And I asked you, If you die this week, what am I going to say about you? What will I say about you and your children, your youth? Will I say sure and certain hope because you've given ample evidence of hearing, of eating and drinking and confessing, or will I just leave it out? Something to think about. It's good to review the resurrection of the body. It's most important, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to believe in the resurrection of the body through Christ. I believe in the resurrection of the body. One more time. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Amen. Let's stand.